If you'd like to support this ministry, you'll find information at the end of this podcast. Okay, now we're going to speak about something that's pretty spooky to a lot of people. Something that you can't touch and you can't really grab a hold of, but it's called the spiritual realm. And other people call it the ether. Other people call it the good and bad spirits. Native Americans, Indians, they hooked into the spiritual realm and they had spirit guides. And then you've got Europe, they have a mythology of wood nymphs and elves and fairies, and Ireland has leprechauns and the little people and all these things. England has theirs. The Americans, they actually took on their mythology of the spirit realm from the Native Indians, because the Americans came over from Europe and they didn't have that sort of thing deeply embedded in their whole culture, because it was a mismatch of all Europeans and all different types of people from England, everywhere. And then the Australians, they have the Aborigines, and the Aborigines have their dream time. And then you've got India, they have all their gods and all their different sorts of things that they hook into the spiritual realm and everything. You know, and people can talk about the ether, they can talk about the spiritual realm, whatever they want to call it, and they try to make sense of it, and they get amulets and little neck braces and little things they wear on their wrist, and all sorts of things that they use to ward off evil and all sorts of stuff. So I've looked into all of this and I've said to the Lord, what's the deal? And he said to me, basically, Jesus is Lord, and he is Lord of every single thing. He is above every phenomena in the world, every spiritual being, everything that we can't touch and feel, everything that goes bump in the night, everything that's in heaven, on earth, and below the earth. So Jesus, theoretically or really, he's the God of hell. He's the God of the earth, the God of heaven. He's the God of everything. He is the Lord. Everything must bow their knee to him. He's the supreme and absolute ruler. So people go to the ether or the spirit realm, New Age people, and they tap into the spiritual realm, but they tap into a power source that is real, but it's less than Jesus. Okay, so he who has the biggest anointing wins, and Jesus has the biggest anointing there is. There is no other anointing or no other power or spiritual entity or individual. There's nobody higher than Jesus. God, actually the Father, gave the whole realm of everything to Jesus. So Jesus is Lord of all. He actually created everything. And we can get into a whole lot of that, but I want you to understand how I make sense of things so that you can maybe find out where I'm coming from. I have no fear of religiosity or being religious. I just believe in Jesus. And there is nobody on the planet, in heaven, on earth, or beneath the earth, who is ever going to sell me the idea that there's somebody greater than Jesus. There is no space aliens, no nothing, no little elves in the jungle. I don't care what they do for you or what they don't do for you. Every single one of them, every single molecule in the universe, has to bow its knee to Jesus. And what does that mean when it bows its knee to Jesus? It means it has to come under the authority of Jesus. Everything that is named, okay, the Bible says. So everything that has an identity or a name, a molecule, an atom, a proton, every single thing has to come and bow its knee to Jesus, which means that Jesus has control of all of that stuff. So what about wood nymphs and little fairies? Now, you know, in the bush or in the jungle or in the forest, you've got the spirits of the forest. Now, those spirits are not good. They're not little angels or whatever you want to call it. They're actually in the dark realm. They come under the power or the authority of darkness, of demons. And demons come in a billion different shapes and sizes and functionalities. They don't all look the same. And they all congregate together or work together under intimidation and fear. But the kingdom of God operates under the power of love and of freedom. So everything that we understand about the kingdom of God is written to us in the Bible, and it all about the kingdom of darkness is in the Bible. The Bible holds the key to every issue that you will ever come across in your life, even particle physics, everything, space, the whole lot. It's all there. Now, the stuff that isn't there, we don't need to worry about. God will change things, or he'll bring understanding to us when we're with Jesus, or as we go on, because knowledge will increase. But what we need to know is the difference between dark and good. We need to know the difference between light and darkness. Darkness has its whole concept in mystique, confusion, lies, deception, negativity, all of this stuff. Now God, he has his center point in freedom, light, understanding, you know, positive things, all of this, whatever. Now the Bible says that angels, even Satan is able to appear as an angel of light. So he's able to speak positive things, but when you actually yield to that concept, then you get trapped and you get bound up. And the only freedom that you're ever going to receive is from Jesus, because he's come to set the captives free. There is no other person in the universe that is going to set you free. Now they may act as agencies for Jesus, but Jesus is the ultimate, and we bow our knee to Jesus. And because we are born again, we're Christians, we're of Jesus, we are in him, and we have power and authority, but we have to actually step into that. We have to move ourselves into that power and authority. And by being faithful to Jesus, he actually gives us more power and more authority. The reason he doesn't give us ultimate power and authority is you don't give a child a gun. You give a child a cap gun, fun toys to play with, and as they grow and mature, they don't ride Tinker Toys, they get in cars. So we need to, as we show ourselves, to yield ourselves to the authority of Jesus and not to anything that is less than Jesus. So he who has the biggest anointing wins. Now, there are people who have experienced spiritual things, and they have bowed their knee to those spiritual enmities because they have they've considered them to be the height of their experience. So if we get a witch doctor who plugs into the darkness, and we get them filled with the Holy Spirit, we show them a greater power than their witch doctor stuff, and they yield to Jesus. They are only interested in power. So Jesus is all power. But once that power has captured their heart, then he introduces to them an even greater experience, which is the love of God. So the love of God is the greatest power in the universe. And Jesus operates from that love, the love of the Father. He operates because of that. He went to the cross because of that. He forgave all of mankind. It was one of the last things that he did on the other side of the cross, which was, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. So he released all of us from our sins and took them and nailed all of our sins and all of our bad stuff to the cross, and it went to hell with him. And now he has the keys to heaven and hell, to death and hell, to everything. He has the keys to everything, which means he has authority to unlock or shut anything up. So nothing can move in the universe unless it is allowed to by Jesus. So Jesus does use darkness to achieve his purposes. If you look in the Old Testament, there's a part where God asked some demons, he said, who will go and be a lying spirit to this king? And they went away and had a little plan and came back to God and said, this is what we're going to do. He said, okay, it's a good plan, go and do it. You'll find that the Bible says God, did this. And then another part in the Bible will say that Satan did it. Well, Satan actually did it, but God allowed it to happen. Okay, you'll find that when Moses was at the burning bush speaking to God, another part of the Bible says an angel there. You know, so which one was it, God or an angel? Which one was it, God or Satan? Well, they were all agencies of God's plan. Some of them are very negative and some are very positive. So it was an angel that spoke to Moses at the burning bush, negotiating with him on how to go to Egypt. He picked up a staff and turned into a snake and all those things. And Moses said, oh, I can't go. So an angel was negotiating with him on behalf of God. And you'll find that if you read the Bible in its entirety, Scripture answereth Scripture. Everything in context. These are the laws of hermeneutics, or how do you say it? So these are the laws that the Bible has when it comes to interpreting Scripture. You don't interpret Scripture outside of Scripture. Scripture answers Scripture. When something says in the Bible something, then you need to go and look in the rest of the Bible to clarify that, and another part of the Bible to clarify that, and another part of the Bible to clarify that, and it all comes together and it never contradicts itself. Only in isolation will it contradict itself. Only in isolation will people make stupid doctrines up without consulting the other parts of the Bible. We get a lot of religions like that. They say, we believe in all of the Word. And they quote this stuff, and it all sounds good, but it's not always in context. When you quote them other parts of the Scripture that are in context and bring it into context, they fall over. They hate it. They don't like us because we bring truth to their lies and deceptions. So the only way that we can get through this life is to always bow our knee to Jesus. And the only way we're going to do that is to know our Bible, because he is the Word, and the Word is Jesus. So if you sync the Word of God with your experience, with your spiritual experience, then you've got a pretty good shot of staying stable. You know, Paul said to the Corinthians, now concerning the spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he starts a teaching on the spiritual realm. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13 and 14, are one whole teaching on the spiritual realm. So when he said, now concerning the spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant, he was saying concerning the spiritual realm, concerning the ether, concerning the electromagnetic force, concerning the dark matter, concerning everything that is not of this physical world that we can touch, that's the spiritual realm. I would not have you ignorant. Okay, so he didn't talk to them about elves and about wood nymphs and about the fairies of the the fairies of the forest. Okay. We've grown up with all of that stuff. We watch Disneyland, and all of our movies are based on fairies and demons and space monsters and everything else. But the real power of the spiritual realm has to bow its knee to Jesus, to the name of Jesus. So he who has the greatest anointing wins. You know, the Bible says in Romans, for they worship the creation rather than the creator. So people tend to worship things of a lesser anointing or a lesser power, spiritual authority, than they do the creator himself. So I understand wood nymphs and fairies and the spirits of the forest. I understand all of that. And they have power, but they don't have ultimate power. It's not that they don't have power, they do have power. They have lots of power. But Jesus has much more lots of power. He has the ultimate power. So I bow my knee to the name of Jesus. So the Bible says in 1 Corinthians, it sets up a protocol. He says, now know this, that he who speaks under the power or influence of the Holy Spirit will never call Jesus a curse. That means he'll never say anything negative about Jesus. He'll never say that Jesus is a second-rate God. There's a power greater than Jesus. Jesus is only one of many powerful entities. No. Jesus is the supreme of everything. So anybody speaking under the power of the Holy Spirit will never call Jesus accursed, or that he is a lesser person than who he says he is. And nobody can call Jesus Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Which means that nobody can bow their knee to Jesus, right, or effectively bow their knee to Jesus unless they have the Holy Spirit. Because the agency of the Holy Spirit gives them the power and authority over everything below Jesus, everything under Jesus. Everything must bow its knee to the name of Jesus that's in heaven and in earth and beneath the earth. So that if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you have the capacity to connect with Jesus and his authority. So you can't say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit, because you are influenced by everything in this realm, and you have no authority. You're tossed to and fro. You're subject to all sorts of demon infestation of psychological, physiological stuff, paranormal stuff. But when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you have the capacity to be the sons of God. You have the ability to move forward in authority and power and defeat the darkness that tries to enslave you. So the only way that you can move forward effectively and become an overcomer is by the blood of Jesus and the word of your testimony, through the power of the Holy Spirit. So as you pray in tongues, God searches your heart and looks for the broken bits in your life that don't function properly, the bad theology and ideas, the bad habits, and the physiological deformities in your body, and he starts to fix them up. He starts to maintain, or he starts to restore things that were broken by lesser authorities in this world. And you become more than an overcomer. And then you move forward. And then as you're able to comprehend and to able to walk in authority, because you've shown yourself to be faithful to Jesus, the highest anointed person there is, he who has the greatest anointing wins. So as you believe in him above every other idea, you know, people believe in Jesus, but they also believe in amulets and special rings and, you know, special things. And that's idolatry, because Paul spoke about it in 1 Corinthians. He said, you know that you are, you know, you worship these things, or you gave authority, or you gave your permission to protect you to these lumps of wood and these stone things that had nothing. But now you're under the authority of Jesus. Now you're filled with the Holy Spirit, and now you're part of the spiritual realm. And I would not have you ignorant, brother, concerning these things. So he talks about the spiritual gifts. The reason they put the word gifts there was because there was something given, okay, but it was given to individuals to operate in, and it was a functionality. So we won't go into it too much on that, but basically it was a functionality. One of the functionalities is a gift of knowledge, a gift of wisdom. Then there's our tongues, interpretation of tongues. So a person can't speak in tongues unless they're filled with the Holy Spirit. Anybody can jabber on, but that's not speaking in tongues. That's not being instigated or influenced by the Holy Spirit. That's just jabbering on. Anybody can do that. Anybody can make up some jibber-jabber stuff. And some Christians are so spiritually challenged that they get told, okay, speak in tongues, this is how you do it, yibba yabba, yibba yabba do, or something like that. I can't remember what one of them said. So they do that. And they said, there you go, you can speak in tongues. That's not speaking in tongues. It's instigated or it's initiated by the Holy Spirit and not by your own intellect or being taught. You know, I've heard so many weird stories. You know, some people say, well, I learnt speaking in tongues because I was told to say some jibber jabber, and then one day it'll just turn into speaking in tongues. I go, oh man, okay. There's some really weird teaching out there. People don't understand how the mechanism works. It's by opening your heart up to the Lord. The Lord doesn't care about your intellect, how you approach him with your intellect. He only wants to know about your heart, because it's the matter of the heart where he starts to change. He doesn't give two hoots about how smart you are, what your belief system is. He doesn't care if you're a witch doctor from the deep, dark parts of the jungle, throwing bones and curses at everybody. He wants to know your heart. He doesn't know if you're, doesn't, he doesn't care if you're a nice person with a wife and three kids and you're just so wonderful as a father and a parent and everything like that, and you're a great husband and all this. He doesn't care. He doesn't care whether you're a witch doctor or a well-to-do, a stable individual who never hurt anybody ever. He doesn't care if you're a drugged-out, drug addict, lunatic murderer. He doesn't care if you're one of those. They don't make any difference to him. He wants you to open your heart up. And that's where the key is, that you open your heart up to the Lord and he steps into your heart. He steps into that place that is the centerpiece of you and starts working from that place. That's so he can do the same thing with a witch doctor, a lunatic witch doctor who has had no education at all, or a Harvard degree person who has tried to do everything right. All they have to do is open their heart up, and then he starts becoming Lord of their life. So a lot of people will bow their knee to a lesser authority, even though they're spirit-filled. They'll have amulets, and they'll just have things. You know, in the West, money is the god of the West. In the West, money, the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. It's not money, but the love of money. So people put their trust in money. In other countries, they put their trust in nymphs and elves and the spirits of the forest and all of these other things. Do you know, when I go into the forest, when I go into the bush, there is a spiritual entity that resides in the forest, in the bush, in the countryside, or whatever you want to call it. And you'll find that witches have groves. They like to connect with nature, because nature has a spirit itself. Nature has a network of spiritual activity itself. Some of it's good and some of it's bad. And the good parts are the angelic, the kingdom of God. The bad parts are the rogue elements, which are the demons and fallen angels and all of the other stuff. So by being that really is the spiritual realm of good and bad operating and coexisting in the same sort of area. And there's a war out there. And because you have authority as a spirit-filled person, you can be used to spread and to further the advancement of darkness. Because you're a spiritual person, because you're filled with the Holy Spirit, because you have power and authority and your words actually mean something now, the enemy can use you to do damage. But what we need to do is we need to be spreading the love of the kingdom of God through Jesus and through being led by His Spirit. You know, we have people who are spirit-filled and they do all sorts of spells and stuff. And it's cool. We call that charismatic witchcraft. You know, they pray against people and they don't pray for the eyes of their understanding to be opened so that they would know the love of God and be transformed. They pray that people will be cursed and messed up and whatever other crazy stuff that comes to their head. Now, if you're ever going to curse somebody, it's going to be under the power and influence of the Holy Spirit. Paul did that to a guy named Bar-Jesus. He tried to stop Paul from preaching the gospel. And Paul, full of the Holy Spirit, not full of his own ideas, but full of the Holy Spirit, said, "Be blind for a season." So there is a time when the spiritual, light, the kingdom of God, will push back. It's not all benign and nothing and inactive. There is a war going on. And God is the God of war. That's one of His names. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He's also the captain of the host of the army. And the army in heaven don't just sit around drinking cups of tea. They are into slaughtering darkness, demons, and chaining up fallen angels. So it's not a passive thing. We just need to understand where everything bounces around in everything. We need to understand the interaction of the kingdom of God. You know, there's lots of tearing and ripping in the kingdom of God. There's lots of violence. But the violence that's done by the kingdom of God itself is done in love. It's done under the idea of protection and keeping people clean and giving them a better outcome. You know, so the concept of mankind's violence is always bad. No, you know, when a country goes to war to liberate all of the oppressed in that country is righteous. They're doing a righteous thing, even though they're killing people. You know, when America dropped the bomb on Japan, you know, people could argue, oh, you kill hundreds of thousands of people, but they stopped the war. So there are sometimes violence that needs to be done to stop everything from decaying and falling apart. And Jesus is going to come back, and He's going to be the most violent person that ever lived. But he's not going to be violent to those who bow their knee to him. He's not going to be violent to those who love good, who love true good, not something that's a pseudo good, but those that truly love good. You know, they have the love of the truth in them. He's not going to be violent to them. He's going to be violent to the people of this world who are self-centered, care about nobody else but themselves, put everybody else last, are only fixated on their benefits. And, you know, God's coming back for servants, people who will lay their lives down for each other, people who will put other people first before them. Those people have the fruit of the kingdom of God. Now, demons don't do that. Demons are self-centered. They only care about themselves. And but, you know, fear doesn't control us. Fear controls demons, and intimidation controls them, right? Other demons intimidate other demons. That's how they operate. But the kingdom of God operates through love and servitude and caring. And not just any caring. Caring for the real issues, the true things, the things that are truly going to benefit individuals. So, considering all of the spiritual realm, it's all mixed up all over the place. And unless you're spiritually led by the Holy Spirit, unless you're spiritually switched on and you have your eyes open, you won't know which one to serve. You won't know which entity or which situation to serve. Is this the right thing to do in this situation, or is this the bad thing? What motivates me to do this? What motivates me to do that? What motivates me to actually come to this conclusion or make this decision? And if you're always led by the Holy Spirit, you'll always do the righteous decision. Now, righteousness, as I've said over and over again, is best practices. It's the right thing to do. Now, there are lots of darkness that tries to tell us this is the right thing to do, but it's wrong. It brings us into bondage. So that becomes sin. And sin is missing the mark. So doing something that is not right, that is not best practices, brings you into sin, brings you into a place where you're not hitting the target, you're missing the mark, and then things start to fall apart. Because sin brings death. Death is all about destruction and decay. But if you follow Jesus and you follow his word and you listen intently to the Holy Spirit and be led by the Spirit, then sin won't be able to have dominion over you, and righteousness will be your life, your walk in righteousness. For the Bible says the kingdom of God is not in meat and drink, but in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So what's the point of all of this? You don't need to worry about amulets, wood nymphs, and you don't need to learn in great detail about the spirits of the forest and all their names and their functionality and how to defeat them. That's not your primary concern. Your primary concern is to hear Jesus through the Holy Spirit and be led by him, and to bow your knee to him and say yes to his leading. That's your primary concern. Your primary concern is to make sure that you bow your knee to him, and bowing your knee to him is saying yes to him, is coming into agreement with Jesus and all of his kingdom. You don't need to know about all the intricate details. God will give you the intricate details when he wants to give it to you. And it'll usually be at a moment's notice. A lot of the healings and miracles I see are done instantly. God has downloaded something directly to me, and I've done that, and there's a result. I didn't have any knowledge before that, but then I had knowledge and I did it. That knowledge stays with me, I understand it, but I can't cookie cut that knowledge. It's better to work in real time with God. It's better to be full of God and to work in real time, right, with the Holy Spirit as your paraclete, or one who comes alongside of you. It's much more efficient to be full of God, have your eyes on God, and to hear him in real time all the time, than it is to have a head full of knowledge, have books and have lists of 100 different thousand demons and all their sub-demons. I've looked at these things, and I went to the Lord. I said, what do I do with this? He said, don't bother about it. I said, praise the Lord. He said, head knowledge isn't where it's at. He said, spiritual knowledge comes from the spiritual realm. It doesn't come from your intellect. So I said, righto. So all I do is delight myself in God. All I do is spend time in the presence of God. And I don't fill my head with a whole lot of stuff that I don't need to know. You know, that stuff is all the demons and all their names and all their functionalities and what sickness does this sickness, what this does with this and all this. I'm a very curious person. And I like to know stuff. Actually, that's part of me. I like to know everything about the intricate parts of everything. Okay, that is me. Okay, I like to know all the detail. But the Lord has said to me, look, I'll give you more than enough detail at the time if you'll just trust in me. And spend your time learning of me. So I spend all my time learning about the details of the personality of Jesus. I spend all of my time learning about being in his presence and how wonderful Jesus is and how wonderful the Father is. I spend all of my time in his presence, enjoying his company, rather than cramming books for some spiritual battle I'm going to have in the future, because the Holy Spirit will give me everything that I need to know and all the power and authority that I need at that time to get the job done. All I have to do is just delight myself in Jesus. So now I don't have any more agendas. All I do is just relax and just have my happy time with God. And when I need to do something that's warfare, when I need to pull down something that's a spiritual realm, when I need to release something into the spiritual realm to set things right, when I need to realign things that are out of alignment in the spiritual realm, the Lord tells me what to do and what to say and I just do it and it all happens. You know, I came home one night, or one after, well, it was about 5 o'clock. Came home from Brisbane. I was in Bundaberg. We pulled up into the driveway and I said straight away, someone's been in our house. And Donna said, how do you know that? So the Lord just told me. So that's the way it works. So I walked in the house. Straight away I walked around the house for a second, looked at a few of the doors, and the Holy Spirit said, no, it's not that. He said, it's spiritual. I said, okay, somebody didn't break into a house. We've been spiritually compromised here. Somebody has been to our house and done some spiritual activity. That's what the Lord showed me. So what did I do? I said to Donna, here, give me a hand. We closed our eyes. We started praying in tongues. And within 10 seconds, I felt the power of God come over us. And I kept my eyes closed, but I felt like we were both hovering in the air about 2 foot in the air. That I was levitating. Now, I was in the spiritual realm, probably not in the physical realm, but in the spiritual realm, I was levitating. I was floating in the air. And we just started speaking things, and I can't remember exactly what I said, but straight away, the Holy Spirit, that's enough, it's all done. I said to Donna, we're all done. Okay, there you go. So I just said, oh, okay, there you go. She said, what was it about? She said, I don't know, don't worry about it. It's all been broken. Okay. So the next day I went outside and I saw all these these black powders look like somebody filled up a cup of black sooty powder, super fine, and poured it into a little spot and created like a ring around the backyard that was about 15 feet across or so, and was some sort of pentagram thing. I didn't quite understand it, and I was going to mow over it because I was mowing the backyard, and I said to Donna, I mean, I made a joke. I said, hey, some aliens have landed in our backyard. Because the rings around there burnt the ground, you know, and all this stuff. And I love to be sarcastic. And I said, can you ask the Lord what this is all about? So she just lifts her hands and starts worshipping the Lord. She's very prophetic. And she's the prophetic component of both of us when we're together. And when I'm alone, on my own, all the prophecy stuff happens to me because I haven't got Donna with me. But when Donna is with me, we operate as a team. She gets one section, I get the other section. She gets the prophetic part, and I get the hammer. Anyway, so she tells me where to hammer, and I hammer. Anyway, so she started asking the Lord within, I don't know, just really fast. She said, some witches came here, and they did something in the backyard, and they created a beacon for darkness to hone in on our place. And it was a beacon. They were marking out a territory for the sons of God. So the spiritual and spiritual realm was going to come and invade this area. Okay, and because we prayed the day before that, we broke the connection to that spiritual realm, and all we had in the backyard was a whole lot of just bits of, you know, black stuff, and they had no more connection to the spiritual realm. And so I mowed over them, and that was it. And so it was all done the day before when we just stepped into the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit gave us the words, and this is what happened. So the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, and taking the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching therein with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So praying always with all prayer, all types of prayer and supplication, making petition in the Spirit. What's that? That's speaking in tongues, and speaking in English, that's motivated by the Holy Spirit. That's praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So you're taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and you're poking the enemy. You're actually doing something to the enemy by praying in tongues, breaking the spiritual realm or the connection. That's all it took. I didn't need a lot of head knowledge. I didn't need a lot of stuff. All I needed was to be full of God, and God can move me into real time within an instant and give me all the information I need, and I speak it out, and it 100% is effective. That beats all head knowledge. That beats all theory and concepts and ideas. So what do? I spend a lot of time with God, and He teaches me personally about the spiritual realm. And then when I need to, I have understanding and knowledge and wisdom, and I step into it, and I apply what the Holy Spirit has told me to apply, and it gets 100% fixed up. That's how it works. That's the most efficient way to operate in the kingdom of God. Spend all your time delighting in God, and when you need to smash things, then He gives you the biggest hammer you ever need, and you can smash it, because the Bible says the Word of God is like a hammer, and you just become Wreck-It Ralph to the kingdom of darkness, and all the wood nymphs, and all the elves, and all of the two fairies, and all of the everything that opposes itself above the knowledge of Jesus Christ, because everything in heaven on earth and beneath the earth, everything in hell has to bow its knee to Jesus. There's no spiritual entity in the whole of everything that is above Jesus. He has the greatest anointing, and he who has the greatest anointing rules. He wins. So delight yourself in Jesus, and don't be too concerned about the little wood nymphs trying to get you, or if you step into a place that's infested with demons. Don't worry about that stuff. Just worry about Jesus and about how much he loves you, and how much the Father loves you, and how much the Holy Spirit wants to reveal to you the revelation of the Father through Jesus Christ. That's all you need to do. That's your only job. Delight yourself in God. Don't worry about all the other stuff. Jesus will step you into that place, equip you with the right sword, as long as you walk with Jesus. Walk closely with him and don't be concerned with anything else. And he will supply everything for you that you need, because he has overcome the world. His anointing is greater than anything else. He won. He has the keys to death and hell. He's the captain of the host of heaven. He's pretty good. I like him lots. So I'm following Jesus and not being concerned with anything else. And a lot of people are caught up with all this stuff, all this insignificant, low-level stuff. You know what the highest level thing you can do, the highest thing you can do in the kingdom, is to walk in the love of God. The love of God. That's the highest thing you can do, is walk in the love of God. How can you do that? The Bible says that the love of God is shed abroad or poured out liberally by the Holy Spirit, poured out over our heart by the Holy Spirit. Pray in tongues. The Bible says, building yourself up on your most holy faith, your best faith, your greatest faith, your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keeping yourselves in the love of God, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for his return. I tell you, it's so simple. Sit down, have a cup of tea, and just pray in tongues and listen for his voice. You know, a lot of the time now, I just speak in tongues. In the morning, I get up, I speak in tongues. I might pray for maybe 10 minutes. And then all of a sudden, my mind will start to focus on certain aspects of the kingdom of God. And those thoughts are coming from God. It's God wanting to teach me something. And then I'll stop praying in tongues. And then he will start speaking to me. He will start explaining to me about things. And then I'll start speaking in tongues again, and then he will start speaking to me again. Is a conversation going. I don't talk over him, even though I'm speaking in tongues. I actually let him have a say when I'm having a conversation with God. For he who speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto man, but unto God. Howbeit he speaks mysteries in the Spirit. Okay, so all you have to do is just speak in tongues. When you're full of God, it's much easier. I don't pray for hours and hours and hours every day. I pray, I hear from God, I pray, I hear from God, I pray and I hear from God, and then I meditate on it and I walk in it for that day. That's what I do. That's my job now. Okay? And he tells me the mysteries of the kingdom of God so that I can meditate on them and then speak them out to you guys so that you can understand yourself, so that you can make a pathway into the things of God and not be concerned with all of the mysteries of this world, but the mysteries of the kingdom of God. They will set you free. They will give you peace and joy and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. So I think we'll just leave that there. So if you'd like to partner with Don and I and help support us, just go to the bottom of this page and click on support.